Dancers are going to be coming out now, and they're going to be introduced, and there'll be lots of shifting rounds, round of monitors. It's sort of a very appropriate day for Irish music. I don't know if you've ever been over there. Some of you have, I know. Rains about 400 days a year where I come from, and it's not much better where James comes from. It's sort of a fitting setting. And Bill, are you going to say words about Irish dancing in Tampa and all that stuff? Kathleen is. Okay.
Testing. Thank you. This mirror live August Cade Mule Falcher Roth. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kathleen Rondo, and I direct the Gaelic School of Irish Step Dancing in Fort Pierce, Florida. And we've come here this evening. This is our second time we've performed here. We performed 2 years ago. And we've come here this evening in hopes of bringing to all of you out there a little bit of our traditional reels, jigs, and hornpipes. And we'd like to start off our segment of the show with the dance called a forehand reel. As these youngsters range in age from 9 years of age through 12.
Thank you. double J. Is it double J?
Right, the dancers are now going to dance a fast double jig, 6/8 time double jig.
Those school of dancers have got to change their shoes before they dance their final dance. And James has asked me to sing a song about his own native city, and indeed Kathleen Rondeau's native city, the city of Dublin. I was down at the Florida Songs Workshop this afternoon for about 2 hours, and it was amazing to hear all these songs being sung about different aspects of Floridian life. Amazing to me anyway, the great patriotism and pride in place. I mean, could you imagine all those songs being sung about, say, New Jersey? I mean, I couldn't anyway. Maybe somebody someday might, but certainly they wouldn't happen now. In Ireland, it would be sort of understandable, all right, because even though we're a small little country, we have 32 counties, and they're all like little republics, 32 little republics, you know, and a sense of pride in place is very predominant in the whole culture. And this song is about the pride not only in place, but in the way the place is. It's a song that casts a question about what kind of progress we should really be allowing in our society, at home, in our major city. And by implication, I suppose it's a universal topic. The song is called Dublin in the Rare Old Times. It's about Dublin as seen through the eyes of an older Dubliner who's very dismayed at what's happening around him. Written by Phil Coulter. I'm sorry, it's written by a man called Pete St. John.
Raised in songs and stories, heroes of renown, the passing tales and glories that once was Dublin town. The hallowed halls and houses, the haunting children's rhymes that once was part of Dublin in the rain. Old times, ring a ring a rosy. As the light declines, I remember Dublin City in the rare old times.
That's the chorus if you want to try it.
Ring a ring a rosy. As the light declines, I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. Oh, me name it is Sean Dempsey, as Dublin as can be. Born and raised in Pimlico, in a house that ceased to be. By trade I was a cooper, lost to redundancy. Like my house that fell to progress, my trade's a memory. And I courted Peggy Dykeman, as pretty as you please. The roving child of Mary, in the rebel liberties. I lost her to a student lad, his eyes were black as coal, when he took her off to Birmingham. She took away my soul. Ring-a-ring, Rosie, as the light declines, I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. Has dimmed my brain, for Dublin keeps on changing, and nothing stays the same. The metropolitan pillar gone, the royal long since pulled down, as the grey unyielding concrete makes a city of my town. So farewell, Anna Liffey, I can no longer stay and watch those new glass cages rise up on Dublin Quay. My mind's too full of memories, too old to hear new chimes. I'm a part of what was Dublin in the way.
Thank you very much. Now the dancers are going to dance a very fine hornpipe for you. The hornpipe is called the Boys of Blue Hill. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bring, you all come back. And yeah, come on out for a bow.
I would like to introduce the girls. We have Deirdre Webb on the far right, Amy Kessler, Lola Angeloni, and that's a good Irish name. But she's right from Ireland. She's from Belfast, Ireland, believe it or not. We have Elizabeth Bailey, Anne-Marie McLaughlin, and Kerry McLaughlin. Thank you very much. You've been a wonderful audience, and thank you to our wonderful musicians.
We always have to move a little furniture, and so when Jim Billy was out here, you know, through the years we've just had wonderful Seminoles with us. Frank Shore, who was the chief medicine man of the Cow Creek tribe at Brighton, and wonderful Billy Bowlegs, who lived to be 103, and he celebrated his 100th birthday with us 1 year. And I asked him how he was, and he said, "Oh, Billy's legs no good." His age did show in his legs, just like mine are. But even though his legs were no good, he could still walk 5 or 10 miles a day, which wasn't bad, was it? For an old man. And Frank Shore told me a remarkable thing one time. He said, "Cousin Thelma, there was Indian lived at Brighton, possessed magic, could turn himself into a little man. His name was Brown Tiger." And I tell that often to the school children, and I say, "Do you believe it?" "Well, to a man, you know what they say." "Well, of course not." "Well," I say, "I don't care whether you believe it or not. This is a beautiful example of the magic stories that exist amongst our first citizens of Florida." And you remember there was a wonderful fairy tale, Puss in Boots, you remember? The old ogre could turn himself, first he turned himself into a lion and scared old Puss nearly to death. And he said, "Well, that's great," but he said, "it'd really be magic if you could turn yourself into something little." Whereupon the ogre turned himself into a mouse, and of course Puss ate him up. So here's that same kind of story existing right here in our very own magical state. Well, have you about got that stage set up now? See, they make me do all kinds of funny things, and I don't mind. It's a delight to introduce the next performers. They've been coming now for a number of years. Importantly, they are amongst our Florida songwriters. Ann and Frank Thomas. Welcome them, please. They live at Lake Wales. Frank and Ann, we're glad you're here.
I can tell by the
And I want to tell you something nice about them. They have recently adopted a beautiful little 6-year-old boy. Let's give them a hand for that.
If anybody out there has not adopted a 6-year-old boy yet, you're really missing something, and I suggest that you go do it as soon as possible. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. This is the way to do it, y'all. Not only is he housebroken, not only can he tell me where it hurts, but he knows to be quiet when you have a headache. He runs and fetches. He dresses himself. The kid is beautiful and brilliant, and you know I could not have done that if I'd done it the normal way.
Tell you, we're just three old Florida crackers here that love Florida, and we're just glad to be here tonight.
One of us is old. All of us are crackers.
What's that? I've seen the Blue Ridge Mountains standing so high.
I've seen the
Shenandoah River with its valley so wide. I've seen all this beauty made by God's own hand. But Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. The old Suwannee River flows down from the north, the great Atlantic coast where the Spanish built their fort. And the mighty Everglades in the southern reaches of this land. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand.
I'll pick it, white boy.
Breezes are blowing all through the Keys,
and the orange trees are growing out there all across the ridge.
And the battlefield at Old Lusty, where General Colquitt made his stand. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. I know there are places in this world I'll never go,
like the mountains of Tibet,
where the wind always blows. But I know I have seen a part of nature's beauty plan in the great state of Florida, and my heart is buried in this sand. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to introduce, for any of you who are not fortunate enough to know him, the man on my far left, Mr. Jim Ballou. Jim's been around this festival off and on for a long time. As you have seen, he's a marvelous, marvelous guitar player. He's also a marvelous songwriter and singer and just an all-around good human being. In fact, Jim is so great that two states claim him. Alabama claims he's from Florida. Florida claims he's from Alabama.
You know, Jim, talking about Jim here, he's been doing music for a long time. Long time. Back in the 60s, he was working up in New York City. Hey, hey, he was there. And he was going to catch a Greyhound bus and come back home. It was hot in the summertime, you know. Now, that was back in the days when women wore these little short skirts and little things, a little mini skirts.
I told you he was old. He doesn't even realize they've come back.
Yeah. Those are the things invented by Seymour Heining. You know what I'm talking about. Well, Jim was getting ready to get on the bus, and there was a little girl wearing one of his little short skirts right in front of him, and she was twisting and wiggling and trying to step up there, and she just couldn't get there. The skirt was too tight. Of course, Jim was right up close looking, you know, and she reached around behind her and zipped it down a little bit and squirmed a little more and reached up and tried to get up there, you know. Still couldn't do it, and she reached around and zipped it a little bit more. That was more than Jim could take. He just reached up and scooped her up in his arms and set her on the bus. She turned around and just slapped him right side the head good and hard. Jim jumped back and said, "My God, why did you do that?" She said, "You son of a gun, we've never been introduced. How dare you lay a hand on me?" He said, "But ma'am, you've unzipped my pants twice." Just another day in the life of a Florida cracker. Let me tell you about Pat the Cat. He was a strange old cat, and Pat used to live with me. He was black as night, and he loved to fight. You see, Pat was mean as could be. Now there was this poodle, and like most poodles, he was proud, conceited, and prissy. And if there was one thing old Pat couldn't stand, it was a dog that acted like a sissy. He had pink toenails and ribbons in his hair, and old Pat would spit and say, "You better watch your step, you prissy little mutt, 'cause I'm gonna get you one day." Now Pat's great pleasure was to climb a tree and from his lofty perch observe, and the things he'd see that poodle dog do, they really got on Pat's nerves. Now one day Pat was up in his tree and that poodle come prissing around. He sniffed Pat's tree, then lifted his knee and began to hose it down. What happened next, I'm not quite sure whether Pat pounced or fell, but he was sitting right astraddle that poodle dog's back like a demon he'd ride into hell. Well, that poodle let out a blood-curdling scream and tried to shake the cat loose, and as the dog would yell, I could hear Pat sneer, "I got you like a hangman's noose." Well, that dog had never been in this fix before, and he hoped he'd never be again, because the more he tried to shake the cat loose, the more his claws dug in. Well, that poodle realized there was nothing he could do but to stand his ground and fight, but Pat wasn't scared of that prissy little mutt. He knew his bark was worse than his bite. But that poodle turned around with fire in his eyes and seized old Pat by the ear, and the tide of battle began to turn, and the cat's face lost its sneer. Well, about that time, a crowd had gathered, attracted by the ballyhoo, gonna see if old Pat could whip that poodle like he boasted he'd do. That poodle got the best of that mean old cat, and down the road Pat went. With his tail hung low, he was leaving town out of sheer embarrassment. Now there must be a moral to this story, but what it is I can't say, unless it'd be eating prissy little dogs will sometime have their day, and big fat cats don't always get their way.